Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
This is Greg from San Leandro. Where did it get where Satan has his red goatee horns and hoofs like a lamb or a goat? God bless.
I'm going to answer that question. Where did we get the idea that the devil wears red tights and has horns and a little goatee and a pitchfork and all that? I'm going to answer it in the second half of this program today. And I'm also going to answer a question about what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not eaten the forbidden fruit. What would have happened? But first, I want to talk about peace of mind.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Follow Your Intuition. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
So I'm going to keep it real simple. If you want to find your true path in life, if you want to find, in religious terms, what the good Lord has in mind for you, if you want to find your way, then you're going to have to look to intuition and not to thinking. I keep coming back to the quotation by Stephen Jobs where he said, follow your intuition. All the great scientists and inventors talk about intuition. People who have been in ultimate situations like a combat zone, for example, or law enforcement officers, they talk about their intuition, trusting that hunch that they have. It keeps them safe, and it's a guide for them. Moms know about intuition, what they know in their heart about their little child. Intuition is your lodestar. And when you fall into thinking, you are falling away from intuition. You can fall so much into your thinking and planning and scheming and daydreaming and worrying and trying to figure things out and setting goals and analyzing and second-guessing yourself. You can fall so deeply into that sort of thing that you lose complete track of your intuition, where you don't even know that it's there anymore. And when it is there, it's just like a vague anxiety or something. So you've got to get back to intuition. How do you do that? You get out of thinking. And how do you get out of thinking? You get the little meditation that I have. It'll help you to stand back from thought. So you're not lost in thoughts. You want to be the observer of thought, not being lost in thought. And no, I'm not talking about something like blanking your mind or trying to eliminate thinking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about simply noticing your thoughts, but not falling into them. And then in those delicate moments with your partner or your child, those delicate moments when you're searching for an answer, that's it. You're searching. But you lift up your eyes. You see the pictures, you see the paintings of saints, of Teresa of Avila or John of the Cross. You see them with their eyes uplifted. And what are they looking to? They're looking unto God. And they know that if they go down into their thinking, they're not going to find him down there. Down in your thinking, you know what you're going to find down there? You're going to find the devil. He talks to you in your thinking. So, get out of your thoughts, get out of your worries, stand back. Worry never accomplished anything. Stand back from your thoughts. When you fall into them, just take a mental step back and snap out. And snap out. When you're driving down the highway and you find yourself lost in thinking, you're not totally paying attention to what's happening. You might even drive by the freeway exit you were supposed to take. You were so lost in thoughts. Snap out. Every time you're lost in thoughts, just snap out, gently snap out. Come back to reality, to where the birds are singing, and to where intuition is, and where you can find your creator. All right, so I think I've made my point about the importance of intuition and following your intuition. But now, the question will be, how do I find my intuition, and how do I stay close to it? Well, here's the answer. I'm going to give you a little bit of help.
Hi, you're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo, putting the spirit back in spirituality for over 34 years.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
But now, the question will be, how do I find my intuition, and how do I stay close to it? Well, here's the answer. I'm going to give you a little bit of help. First of all, your intuition is silent. It's wordless. It's quiet. It's like the still, small voice. And what does still mean? It means silent. Like in the still of the night, in the quiet of the night. Down in your thoughts, you sometimes hear a voice, and it's the voice of folly, and it will always mislead you. In my book, I co-authored a book called Mike's Story, and I talk about a young man who, when he was a kid, there would be a voice in his mind, and it would say, if you don't count to 10, something terrible is going to happen to your mother. So then he would feel compelled to count to 10. And then it would say, unless you tap on the desk 8 times and turn around twice, something terrible will happen to your mother. So he would tap on the desk 8 times and turn around twice and so on. So you got the idea. So that's what the voice says to a little kid. Something like that. And then later in life, look, I remember one time I was reading a book on exorcism, famous book on exorcism. It's an old book. I can't remember the name of the author. I've mentioned it before, but it's just a famous book. And in there, it tells a story of a nun, a religious lady. And she was tormented by thoughts that she wasn't praying enough, she wasn't doing enough for people, she wasn't good enough, she wasn't sacrificing enough, she wasn't being nice enough, she wasn't smiling enough. It was tormenting her with those kinds of thoughts. She wasn't reading the Bible enough, she wasn't whatever. It just kept tormenting her for years. And then finally, she just threw up her hands. She said, that's it. I'm just not going to struggle with that anymore. I've had it. I'm just not going to keep trying to be better and better and better and better. And when she said that, all of a sudden, the devil appeared. And she looked at him and she said, so it's been you. You're the one that's been tormenting all these years. And he kind of smiled with a little smirk, and he said, yes. And she said, why? Why did you torment me with all those thoughts that I'm not praying enough, I'm not being good enough, I'm not being nice enough? Why did you do that? And he said, with a little smirk on his face, he said, why did you believe me? See? So you just have to learn to dismiss those thoughts. You're getting ready to leave home. You walk out the door and something says to you, you didn't turn the, I don't know, I'll make something up. You didn't turn the heater off. So you go inside, you look and the heater is turned off. And then you leave and then it says you didn't turn the heater off. and then you go back. You see what I mean? So the point that I want to get to, though, now this is the important point. What is the basic thing I'm telling you? Not to get lost in thought. Stand back. Get my little meditation. It'll help you. I just made a brand new one. It's so beautiful. It's a little meditation for you. That's what I call it. It's only like 8 minutes long. It's so beautiful. It shows you very quickly how to stand back from those thoughts. Instead of being lost in them, instead of struggling with them, instead of trying to repress them on the one hand or going along with them on the other, just stand back and watch them. Well, anyway, so that'll help you. But you just have to understand that you're not going to find answers to life's most important questions down there, because that voice will always mislead you. Look to your intuition. Like the great scientists tell us, the martial artists tell us, the inventors tell us, Stephen Jobs tells us, and the saints show us by lifting up their eyes. They're looking for wordless guidance from on high instead of misleading words from below. So if you want to get out of your thoughts, first thing you have to do is learn to stand back from them and watch them. Don't try to stop them. Don't try to negate them. Don't try to push them under the carpet. Don't try to struggle with them. Just watch them. You need that separation. And if you need a little help, get the little meditation. It's free.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo, putting the spirit back in spirituality for over 34 years.
Look to your intuition. Like the great scientists tell us, the martial artists tell us, the inventors tell us, Stephen Jobs tells us, and the saints show us by lifting up their eyes. They're looking for wordless guidance from on high instead of misleading words from below. So here's what I wanted to tell you. The voice in your mind, and if you don't want to call it the devil, just call it whatever you want. Just say the dark side or just that voice. If you're a religious person, then it'll say you're not praying enough, you're not giving enough money to charity, or it'll have something like that. But it's very subtle. I want you to see that it's very subtle. In today's day and age, it's not going to come to you and torment you with thoughts that you're not praying enough or something like that. It's going to be more like, you're not eating healthy enough. You're not exercising enough. You're not setting enough goals. See, it'll be those kind of thoughts. Now, there's an interesting, a very famous writer. His name is C.S. Lewis. I'm sure you've heard of him. And he wrote a lot of books. But one of his books is called The Screwtape Letters. You've probably heard of it. Well, there's a story in there. I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm not going to get it quite right the way he said it. But there was one of the lower level devils was talking to the boss. And the boss said, hey, the boss called him into his office. And the boss, I mean, the big devil, said to the novice devil, he said, hey, how you doing with Joe Schmo over there? He said, I'm sorry, I'm not getting anywhere with him. I've tried everything. I can't seem to get to him. The devil said, well, all right. What does he do? He said, he's just a really nice person. And the devil said, well, there's got to be a way. Let me help you out here. So what does he do? He said, well, every morning he likes to take a nice walk in the woods. The devil said, that's it. That's how we'll get to him. So next time he goes for a walk, just whisper to him that he's going for a walk to get more exercise. Or whisper to him he's going for a walk to increase his heart rate. Or he's going for a walk to burn calories. Or he's going for a walk to lose weight. Or he's going for a walk to be healthier. So put those ideas into his mind. And gradually that way you'll take complete control of his going for a walk. You'll change his motivation, and then he's ours. Oh, I get it. said the novice devil. So that's what he went and did. So nowadays, what it's going to be is something very subtle along those lines. So if you enjoy eating some little thing, the devil will say, well, it's not healthy. He'll say, it's not good for you, doesn't have enough vitamins in it. And so before long, he'll take control of your eating that way. Now, in this example, maybe it's unhealthy and maybe it's not. It doesn't matter. The point is, you must move from your own motivation, spontaneous and intuitive and independent, and not from some notions in your mind that are little more than temptation in disguise. So, here's what I suggest. I was going to go into some more elaborate details, but I've got to keep it simple for you. And what is simple thing is for you to understand that you must stay out of your thoughts. Don't go snowboarding down the slopes of your thoughts. They will carry you away and mislead you and lead you down into like a rabbit hole, like in Alice in Wonderland. Instead, practice the art of standing back. Learn how to observe thought instead of falling into it. Stand back and objectively watch what's going on in your mind. No, you don't have to blank thought. You don't have to try to eliminate thought or repress thought or anything. Just watch it. If a thought comes, just notice it. That's all. And then see what I mean? It's very simple. That's the beginning. So what is good about that? It's double good. First of all, you won't be misled. You can stand back and question and wonder and what. Okay, so you're not being misled. But then at the same time, you are closer to intuition. When you're not lost in your thoughts, you're closer to reality. And when you're in reality, you're very close to something even above reality, which is your intuition. And in the light of understanding, you can discern truth from deception and what is right from what is wrong, or what looks right but really isn't. And when you're close to your intuition, then you just wordlessly know, and you just lived your life one step at a time. When faced with any issue, take a mental step back, then check with your conscience. If something doesn't sit right with you, then just don't do it. On the other hand, if you take a mental step back and check with your conscience, and it doesn't hold you back, then you can proceed. Don't pre-plan everything. Live spontaneously. Speak up for yourself. Speak up on the spot and spontaneously. If people don't like it, tough. Honest people will respect your forthrightness. Worry never accomplished anything. If you mess up, admit it immediately and then go about your business. Let your hair down. Just be a regular person. Don't put on a show for God. Don't put on a show for anyone. If you feel pressure to do something, take a mental step back and watch. Check with your conscience. If it doesn't seem right, then just don't do it. If you're not sure what to do, then just wait. And if it seems right or wise, then go ahead. But you're doing it not because they pressured you to do it, but because you see that it's wise. Do you see the subtle difference? You're doing it not because they pressured you to do it, but because you see that it's wise or right. That way you're obeying your conscience. You're not obeying them, you're obeying your conscience. You may be doing what they're telling you to do, and they think you're doing it because they're telling you to, just let them think that. But secretly you know that you're doing it because you see that it's wise, or you see that it's right. And it gets even better. You're walking down the street and there's an alley. Oh, let me take this alley, that's a shortcut. But somehow something stops you. Somehow you just sense deeply not to go down that alley. So you don't go down the alley and you're safe. Who knows what was in that alley? You see what I mean? But then other times, a door opens up and you go through the door. And there you are, prospering, successful, happy. And you just lived your life one step at a time. So if you have something to do, then just do it. All right, just don't resent doing it. Don't second guess and and double guess and triple guess yourself and try to figure everything out. Take a little step, then check with your conscience. If it seems okay, then take another step. And if it's okay, then go ahead. All right? And God allows you to make... See, there's another thing that I like. This is a saying that I heard. It's very true. God allows you to make mistakes. The devil forces you to be good. God allows you to make mistakes. The devil forces you to be good. See? Don't let anyone or anything change your motivation for doing something. Do it spontaneously, or do it because you see that it's wise, or that you see that it's right, or do it because you would like to do it. If people are pressuring you, stand back, watch the pressure. Don't let it get inside, just watch it. Don't resent it, let the pressure pass, and then do what seems right or wise to you. All right?
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Check out Roland's free resources at sheddingshackles.com.
Christ told us to not be anxious over what we will eat or wear, because he said, "Consider the lilies of the field and the birds. God takes care of them, and how much more will he take care of you?" A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Do you understand that there's a kingdom of heaven, a parallel dimension? You have been translated out of the kingdom of heaven into another world. It's nice that we have this beautiful world, but there's a way of existing where you can enjoy this world. You have fallen far away from the kingdom of heaven, and all you know is an animal state of doubting, planning and scheming, stumbling, and thinking over mistakes that you made. To find the perfect life, you must find the way to get your guidance from the kingdom of heaven. Where do you find God's kingdom? You find it within. Find more inspiration for your day at sheddingshackles.com.
Okay, I promised to answer some questions. Let's take a call. Here's a call coming in on our listener call-in line from California.
This is Greg from San Leandro. Where did it get where Satan has his red goatee and horns and hoofs like a lamb or a goat?
Yeah, well, here's the answer. In the book of Revelation, the devil is portrayed as a dragon, so that's where the horns come from. And then there was a Greek god called Pan who had goat feet, and so that kind of comes in there. Pan was kind of a naughty type of god. And then the pitchfork. Oh, the pitchfork comes from the Greek god Hades, who was in charge of the underworld, and he had a pitchfork. And then the red tights, that's the best part. Well, that comes from the theatrical production, Faust, where the character Mephistopheles wears a Renaissance-era costume with red tights. So that's where the red tights come from. And then there were a lot of advertisements that portrayed the devil all in red, and then Disney came in and like that. So that's where we get that. And then there's Halloween. But guess what? The devil is real. No, he doesn't wear red tights and have horns and like that. Sometimes we have humor about things that we're afraid of. And so it's a way of dealing with it by making him sort of cute and have a goatee and red tights and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is the devil is very real, and that's why we need to find God and Christ, who has the power to bind the devil. Let's take another question. Jeremiah, have you got anything for me?
A listener wants to know what would have happened if Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit.
Yeah, that's a great question. I like it. What would have happened if Adam hadn't eaten the fruit? Well, I made a great video. It was actually a radio program, and then I made a YouTube video about how God created love. So, if Adam hadn't eaten the fruit, the forbidden fruit, then he would have just gone on obeying God and lived in paradise, and his wife wouldn't have been angry at him, and she wouldn't have constantly judged him and blamed him and found fault with every little thing that he did. And he wouldn't have suffered, okay? But there wouldn't have been the choice factor, see? Yeah, the angels, I'm sure the angels love God because they know him and they love him. Most of them do, except for the fallen angels. But God wanted to create lots of love, so, and lots of children. So first he had to make the choice factor. That's the reason for the forbidden food, so Adam could choose. And then there had to be the separation. So now humankind was separated from God, and then some people would yearn for him, and some people would yearn for something good and sweet and pure, and would love innocence, and they wanted to find what's missing in their life. And so that's how love is created. So God created millions and billions of children and lots and lots and lots of love and freedom and love. And that's what he did. And that wouldn't have happened if Adam hadn't eaten the forbidden food. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to SheddingShackles.com. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is SheddingShackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.